When we broke last time, we were talking about the four challenges that men face in relating rightly to their wives. And we said that there are four things that you have to do because your wife needs you to do these for her. She needs your companionship, and she needs you to give her security, and she needs to know that she is significant to you, and that she needed from you emotional responsiveness. Now, we didn't really talk about how to do those things, but companionship, security, significance, and emotional responsiveness are the four needs she has. If you were to go to Amazon.com and be willing to spend about $11.14, there's a book that's author is Bill Wellems, and it's not a new book. But he talks in this book about, the title of it is Getting Away to Get It Together. And it's about how to take your wife on basically a planning retreat where the two of you can decide what's important to both of you and kind of pull together and get some direction. And it also, in this book, if you were to get this book and try to do it, there's like 9 chapters, you would discover that there are some things that you can do that would be help her feel secure and help her feel significant. And also there's a time in there for you to be emotionally responsive to her. Just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, if you really wanted to make an impression, a meaningful impression on your wife, you could make a date that say was going to last for a few hours and say to her, all I want to do tonight is spend this entire time dreaming about your life, how God might want to use you and where He is going to take you and your gifts and your talents and help you become who He wants you to be. And if you talk to her about that, you would discover that it would be an incredibly meaningful time for her. Now, maybe not for you, but it would be for her. And that's the whole point of the thing. Now, when guys do this, there are two extremes they go on. If you were to try to actually do this retreat, the guys who do the business meeting approach, you know, they're so organized and so got their, you know, everything they're ready to, we got business to do, we're going to do this and this and this and make sure nobody has any fun while we accomplish this. And then the other side is guys who just want to say, well, I'm just going to let this happen. And so they don't really have a plan, and they get there and basically it winds up that we're going to hope something happens. And a lot of times what happens is you watch TV and go eat and nothing else of significance occurs. So the idea is you need to get away in order to refresh your perspective and get the big picture again. Now, this can happen at any time in your marriage because at every time in your marriage, and we'll talk about this a little later, your marriage is actually more than one marriage. It is a series of marriages, and we'll talk more about that as we get into this. So let's look at this 25 practical ways to be a genuine servant leader in your home. That's what we want to talk about today. And we're not going to get through all of them because of time, but we're going to do half of them, and we'll get back to the other next week. The first thing is that a servant leader includes his wife in envisioning the future, and hence the idea of this getaway to get it together retreat. And if you're going to go on one of those, we're talking about something more than a night. You need about 2 nights and 3 days to just get away and unplug and kind of dream together. And I think you'll find it a helpful time for both of you. But when we say that a servant leader includes his wife in envisioning the future, I want you to think about the word provision. We all understand that we're supposed to provide. But if we were to separate that word to provision, we need to be able to look upon our future with our family and to plan so that when things happen and the children get ready to leave home, you and your wife aren't strangers who just exist together in the same home. And you want to provide so that if your child goes to college, you can help them go to college. When they move away, that you and your wife can have some money to go and do some things together. You don't want to retire broke, as so many in our country do. So we're talking about provision. Take the time to look at that. And that's what we're talking about. And then your children, as they're raised, what kind of character do you want them to have? We often talk about a college fund, but what about a character fund? What are you putting into them so that when they grow up, when they move out, that they are really godly children. So envision the future and include your wife in that. The second thing that a servant leader will do is he will accept the spiritual responsibility for his family. Now, the way this works practically is the man should be the one who gets up and says, okay, family, we're going to church today because church is important. Now, you hear a lot of women say and beg their husband, honey, we need to go to church. Please, let's go to church. But a servant leader is a man who will get up and say, we're going. He's the guy who sets the agenda that says at the table, okay, now let's pray. You know, he takes the spiritual initiative, and that's what we're talking about here in number two. Now, remember, your core responsibility in everything that you do, we talked about those first four things. The one responsibility that you have to accept is not to forget the fact that you are to be in this relationship, a unique blend of servant and leader. Not overbearing and the dictator, not domineering, but a servant leader. So, number three, a servant leader is willing to say, I'm sorry and forgive me to his family. You've got to admit when you're wrong. And if you're not willing to admit when you're wrong, there's going to be great difficulty for you in doing any of these things because you lose all credibility. When you mess up, fess up. And if you're honest with yourself, you're going to have plenty of opportunity and plenty of reason to fess up because we all mess up, unfortunately, way more than we wish. The fourth way to be a genuine servant leader is to discuss household responsibilities with your wife and make sure that they are fairly distributed. This is particularly important for the modern man who most today, their wife works outside the home full-time, and it's not fair for her to do that and then come home and accept all the household duties as well. And basically, she's doing two jobs full-time. You need to help her with that. And then when your children get older, you need to be sure that they all are pitching in as well. And it's good for them to have responsibilities and chores also. The husband is the one who needs to say, everybody has a job and everybody's doing their job and we're all pitching in together to be a team. The fifth way to be a servant leader, a genuine servant leader, is a servant leader seeks the consultation of his wife on all major financial decisions. You don't ever want to be guilty of having pitched a fit with your wife about her having, you know, bought a new blouse or a new pair of shoes or a new whatever, and then the next week come home with a new truck or a new boat or a new something and say, hey, baby, come here, let me show you. I got a surprise for you. I don't recommend that. That's not a good way to do business. And it doesn't get the kind of response you want either. And what that does, remember Jesus said that the Gentiles were those who would lord it over. That's not servant leadership. We're supposed to be different. The sixth mark of a genuine servant leader is a servant leader follows through with commitments he's made to his wife. She's got to know that if you say it's going to be a certain way, you're going to do everything to make it happen. A promise has got to be kept. And if you don't keep your promises, then you need to go back up to number three and admit, you know, and ask for forgiveness when you're wrong. The seventh mark of a servant leader is to anticipate the different stages that your marriage will pass through. And this is what I alluded to earlier. Your marriage is really a series of marriages. And the best analogy is of a football game. You know, you have a first quarter, a second quarter, a halftime, third, fourth quarter. And so many people have a great first quarter. And then they say the children are born. And say the raising of children is your second quarter. And so many people blow it in the second quarter. And when it gets time for halftime, because the child has taken all of either one of the spouses' attention from the other, you see people hit their 40s and get divorced. Or you see people who have a child who's 18 years old, graduates from high school, gets ready to go off to college, and the next thing you know, this couple who's been married maybe 25 years, all of a sudden they've called it quits. Well, what happened is they lost the second quarter. And, you know, you can have a 21-point lead going into halftime and blow it. So that's the thing I want you to think about as we talk about this. Your marriage is a series of marriages, and a good husband is going to understand that when you're going through life. What worked in the pre-marriage cycle is one thing, is one marriage. What works in the early years of marriage before the children, say, that's another stage of marriage. What works when your children are young is another stage, and what works when they're teenagers is another stage. What works when they go off to college is still another stage, and then the empty nest is another stage in the retirement. That's a final stage. So as you think about the series of marriages, that's an idea. And a good servant leader will anticipate these different stages that his marriage is going to go through. And he's going to anticipate the different pressures and issues that each of those stages will bring. Number eight, a servant leader anticipates the different stages his children will pass through as well. You have to know that you have to be a different style of parent when your children are little. You may be the director when they're that age. But as they get older, you cannot continue to be the director or you will become a dictator. And in the family, a dictator is usually set up to be overthrown. So you don't want to do that. Instead of being the director, you want to move into being more like a coach. And then when they get into college, you're going to quit being the coach and become more like a consultant. And then when they graduate or they're in their own careers, then you become a peer. And those are more the stages of being a dad. And a good servant leader will anticipate these different stages that his children will pass through. Number nine, a servant leader frequently tells his wife what he likes about her. It's real easy to become critical. It's real easy to become complacent and to accept the status quo, but you always want to be telling your wife what you like about her, and that you'll find to be very helpful for her. Number 10, a servant leader provides financially for his family's basic living expense. And the key word in that whole sentence there is the word basic. Everybody needs to understand that the basic needs is different than what the American dream or the many pressures that many men put on themselves would say. When we're talking about basic, one of the problems that young men are making today is they want to get married and they want to start out with everything. And they start out spending everything each other makes. And then she gets pregnant and she has a baby and her income's pulled away. And now they're in deep, deep debt. And the family is already on a rocky start. And most marriages that end in divorce do so in the first 5 years, and the number one reason for that usually is too much debt. So make sure that you're talking about, the best idea to do is if you're going to have a dual income family is make your lifestyle fit what one of the incomes is and save the other. Don't need the other. That way when it's taken away, nothing is lost, and you can have a pretty good savings plan if you're saving one income. Number 11, a servant leader deals with distractions so he can talk with his wife and family. Now, this dealing with distractions is very difficult in our overstimulated world. But it's your job to say we watch too much TV, we need to turn it off and have a conversation. It's your job to say, okay, get those earplugs out of your head, young man or young lady, I want to talk to you. The servant leader is the one who will deal with the distractions. And these can be things that are good in of themselves, but too many of them. I know many, many young families who are guilty of, you know, they've got piano one night, they've got dance another night, they've got soccer another night. They do so many things that nobody has time for anything. So a good servant leader will deal with those distractions. And finally this morning, a servant leader prays with his wife on a regular basis. This is one of the most difficult things to start, but it's one of the most beneficial things you'll ever do, is for the two of you to get down on your knees and pray together. This builds greater intimacy with each other. It builds greater intimacy with God. And if you have children, if you can bring them into this and have a family prayer time, this will benefit you as well. It's spiritual exercise, and your family needs to be involved in every form of exercise. And so many of us walk together, do all those kinds of things, but forget the need for this spiritual exercise. So what I'd like for you to do this morning is to think about what your leadership style is with your wife. Are you trying to be her dictator? And then and what are your weaknesses? And then how, if you would, rate yourself on how you meet each of your wife's core needs, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10. The idea would be, or how good of a companion are you? What kind of security are you providing? What kind of significance do you give your wife? And are you emotionally responsive to her? What would your wife say she feels? Would she say that she feels honored as the co-equal in your home? Does she equally share the benefits of your labor? And what is one thing that you could do right now that would make you a better servant leader? I think every one of us probably has room for improvement. I know I do. Well, guys, that's this morning's huddle.